We sit home all week and we conspire and plan everything so it goes according to plan. No, we don't.
I witnessed that firsthand too many times here.
Yeah, you know, that's really cool though, because there's an expectation. You know, we come here and yes, you know, we have prayer over the building and walkthroughs of the chairs and all of that. But beyond that, it's like, I never know either. But yet, in testimonies, so many times, and scriptures that come forth from one another, it all just comes together like that. It is so beautiful how the Lord, it's like He's knit our hearts together in love. And the enemy can't sever that, because it's not a flesh love, it's a spiritual love. And it's eternal. And it's the strongest force in the universe, is the love of God. Thanks, Critter. Can you imagine what all the people sitting around us on that airplane are going to hear? And you know what, if they dare to jump out. Today, this is an in-house kind of thing. There's a financial need in this body, and I never say who it is. But there is, and I have a basket was in that chair, and any time during the time we're here, huggy break or just whenever, and you want to help make a difference in that need, please do that. And I'm not going to pass it, so that, because I don't like to do that, because it makes you almost feel compelled that you have to, and I never ever want anyone to feel like they have to do anything except get saved. It's over here in this chair, but any time during that we're here.
Can we do a check if we don't have cash?
I don't know how that would work.
Well, if you put maybe just write for need, or...
How would that work, Faith?
Well, it's going to be in the basket, so...
Yeah.
If it's in that basket...
Okay. Yeah. We'll make it work, because Gary asked me that question as well, and I didn't really know. Okay, Barb?
I think if you just write it out to cash, and anybody can cash.
Oh, that's a good point, too.
Okay. We'll see how that works. But that's the need, and this is how we do it. And it's just like the missions. It's an in-house thing, but people who want to sow a seed to the church through tithes and offerings, it's a little church building back there, and you can do that anytime you're here. Some people do coming in, some people do going out, because we like the concept of giving and learning to listen to the Holy Spirit about what you give and why you're doing it, because that's what matters the most. And so I'm just saying that today, because there's some people that haven't been here before, and we don't have pallbearers to take up an offering. You know, some places you go the long...
Oh, you didn't give.
You know, we don't do that, because God loves cheerful givers. And I've never been in a place like this where if I forget a missions offering, I get lovingly reminded. So anyway, that's that announcement about that announcement. I'm more into the meaty things, but it'll be a blessing to the persons who have the need. So does anybody else have any other testimonies before I do a Reader's Digest condensed version of the opening scripture? Ken.
I just say that I'm here.
Amen.
And I'm doing really well. I got a ways to go before I'm 100%, but it's truly amazing that God created our bodies that we can receive replacement parts and do well afterwards. So praise God.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Our opening scripture this morning is from the book of Jude, and you'll find that it's the last small, very short, one-chapter letter. Jude was the brother of James, and James was the brother of Jesus. And contrary to certain church doctrines, Mary did have other kids besides Jesus. And the Bible talks about them, and they named them, and Jude was one. But he wrote these scriptures having heard and read what some of the apostles had written about end times. A lot of times people want to know what's it going to be like. And it's amazing how when you think of the couple thousand years that have passed, and even prophets in the Old Covenant would speak something and never live to see the prophecy come to pass. And so that's why it doesn't matter when the Lord gives you a word about something, don't worry about when it's going to come to pass. But if it's of the Lord, it will. And so we're going to go to the little book of Jude. And verse 17, and we're going to read this little short portion. But there's a lot of meat and taters in it, because, you know, we have the milk of the word and we have the meat of the word. So wherever you're at in the Lord and your ability to consume what's written, if you will, there are some really interesting things about the future written. And so Jude starts off in verse 17 and he says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." So being a word person, I had to know, well, who are they? Which ones? Because I'm an inquisitive kind of character. I wanted to find out who preached something, and Jude remembered it, so that he wrote that in his letter. The first one was the Apostle Paul, and he wrote what Jude is talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, about the end times, what is it going to be like? And so Jude is saying basically what these apostles had written. The other one was from Peter, and he wrote to the believers that were scattered out through all of north, the nation of Turkey. I fly over Turkey after flying across the Black Sea on my way to India. We fly across the Black Sea and across Turkey. And I've seen Mount Ararat where Noah's Ark is. I've seen it from 38,000 feet. Not the Ark, but the mountain where the Bible says it is. And it's always got snow on it. It's so high up above sea level that there's still snow on it. But there were believers in small villages, and you can read the beginning of Peter's letter, and he talks who he's writing to. He wrote about these same things. So these were the two that Jude had heard, because he said, "Remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time." Tom, your testimony had to do with basically someone mocking the cross, mocking Jesus, mocking the salvation message. But he says, in the last time, we should walk after their own ungodly lusts. We have to remember that we did that too. Before we were saved, we lived after and by our feelings. Whatever we felt like doing, we did. We never sensed any conviction it was wrong, because we weren't saved. The Holy Spirit wasn't indwelling us yet. And so we walked after our own passions, after our own feelings. And whatever we wanted to do, that's what we did. But in the last days, there's going to be an increase of that. This indicates an increase. "These be they also who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." Sensual means it's all about the five physical senses: touch, taste, feel, smell, and hear, or see. You know, those five physical senses make up a person without Jesus, and they follow after those things. Thomas, unless I see, I won't believe. unless I hear, I won't believe. Those kind of things, because that's what we have. We're living in an earth suit. Okay, I got chastised one time by somebody at the bowling alley because I called our body an earth suit. But how many of you can relate to that? If you go to space, the astronauts, what do they wear?
Spacesuit.
Spacesuit, all right, because they need it. We live here on earth, so we have an earth suit. It's called our flesh. Even kindergarten kids would understand that. But without Christ, without the indwelling Holy Spirit, the earth suit has all of these, the five physical senses included. And our whole life centers around those things. But now, these other writers talk about the same thing. There's going to be an increase of people like that. One of them talked about they would no longer, they wouldn't even believe that Christ was raised from the dead. And that's one of the tenets of our faith. Not only do we have to believe and confess with our mouth, yes, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe he shed his blood for the forgiveness of my sins. I believe he died on the cross for me in my place. And I believe that on the third day God raised him from the dead. And if you believe those things in your heart, the Bible says then we're saved. But this in this coming time, there is a wave, another move of the Holy Spirit, where people are coming to Christ in enormous numbers all over the world. You just don't hear it on certain channels on your TV. They don't want to talk about that because they're part of the mockers. They're part of the other side. They don't believe that. But we do. But it helps us to better understand how we need to have an ear and listen to what people are saying so that that gives us an inroad, if you will. It gives us an opportunity to respond to what they've said so that in a very loving way we can bring them to that place where now they hear the gospel and they have an opportunity to believe that, because that's the most important message on our planet. And however many others, we don't know that. I don't know that. But I know that this is the message. And so now here's the word for us. How do we respond? What's our part in the body of Christ? But you, beloved, when's the last time you called yourself beloved of the Lord? And if you have your own favorite name you call yourself? I want to introduce this one, beloved. Because it's not a new word. You should be really pleased that you have the absolute privilege of calling yourself the beloved of the Lord, because God calls you beloved. That's a term of endearment. So there's that relationship between he and us. We're his beloveds, but together we're a gathering of the Lord's beloveds, and how we treat each other is based on, do we really have that understanding among us as a body? We are the body of Christ. And so as we grow in our faith, we learn to honor one another in the way that the Lord honors us and we honor him, and we serve him through serving his beloveds. It's really kind of cool how the body of Christ, we're fitly framed together, fitly joined together, we're knit together in love. All these things play into what our part is. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. And you heard Tom talking about he doesn't speak any of the dialects of so many, like going to China, there's over 600 dialects of Chinese. Which one will I use today? I don't know. I don't know any of them. So I don't know any of the dialects of the India language. And in these little villages, there are three that are very predominant. And when I hear Pastor Sherrard speaking and talking to them, I've heard what he said so many times, I can mouth the words, because it doesn't take me very long to get familiar with hearing that again. And sometimes I know what they're talking about. I don't speak the language, but I know what they're talking about, and their eyes get like, because they thought they could say something that we wouldn't have any clue as to what they were talking about. And I did surprise them because I spoke out what they were talking about. They're more careful now. It's the Lord gives us interpretations. There's tongues and interpretation of tongues. And we're a church that believes in those things. And we've seen them happen many times, not only here, but in other places we've been. And so this tells us praying in the Holy Spirit. This is just a testimony of something previous that happened many years ago. I have many of those many years ago here. But I was talking about this verse, and a couple got very angry and left the church because I talked about praying in the Holy Spirit is praying in tongues. That's not what that says. That religious spirit that Tom... So you would think Tom and I talked about what we were going to talk about this morning, and we didn't. We didn't. And look at what's happening. It's happening already. If you want to get built up in your faith, pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. And if you don't have that gift, ask the Father to give it to you. And then thank Him for it and believe that you receive it. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a portion of it. Tongues is the evidence. But praying in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you don't know what to pray. You don't know how to pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. Because the Holy Spirit is the language that the Father speaks. He understands that from His heart to our heart, from His Spirit to our spirit. And it will always be exactly the right thing to pray. You will never go wrong praying in the Spirit. Building you up. Do you ever feel like you needed to be built up after you've been beaten down? Do you ever feel like you're almost horizontal and you just wish somebody would come and lift you up and stand with you? Praying in the Spirit is very, very much. That's one of the characteristics of it. It has the ability to build you up. What if you're like David in a cave? You know, he was fleeing from Saul and he was hiding. And David said these very interesting words. He said, I have learned to encourage myself in the Lord. He couldn't get, this is being recorded back there and it's going to be on the internet by tomorrow sometime probably. Well, David couldn't have access to hearing that. He couldn't get any of Gary's beautiful books on the track table back there. He couldn't hear his favorite programs on the Victory TV channel. He couldn't get Kenneth Copeland. He couldn't get Kenneth Hagin. He couldn't listen to all the people you listen to. He said, I learned to encourage myself in the Lord. Well, Christians can still do that today. You can encourage yourself in the Lord by praying in the Holy Spirit. And that's really important because it'll focus you back in a right place where you're thinking spiritually and not physically. Because that, if we're moved by our flesh, that can take us down a bad road. All right, and then he says, keep yourselves in the hate of God. Oh, God, I messed that all up. What's your Bible say?
Love.
Did you really? You really have that in your Bible?
Yes.
Boy, I need to borrow that page. Y'all doing good today. Little word searchers you are. It says, keep yourself in the love of God. That tells me a couple things. That means there may be a time when I don't feel like it. Because I'm listening to my feelings. Okay? So, that can get you in trouble if you love by your feelings. Because it could be lust. It could be a short-term thing. Because it's so shallow. Shallow howl. You know, we don't want to be a shallow howl in the kingdom. This love, there's a reservoir. The Word of God says that God has filled our hearts with the love of God by the Holy Spirit. Our heart has a reservoir of love. When you find it difficult to love somebody, that's because you're looking at you, you're looking in the flesh, and you're making excuses of why not to. Because you find all their faults and say, well, I know this, I'm not going to do that. I'll let them sweat it out a while. That'll teach them something. No, that love is a reservoir. When you can't, in and of yourself, find that kind of love that this word is talking about, you got to go a little deeper. There's a reservoir of love that the Father has put in there for just such times. Because you know what? That's how he loves you. And we have to learn to draw that love out of that reservoir. And it's hard, because sometimes you want to reason and think about it. But this goes beyond that. This is what's going to keep us, okay? This is how, when we see times changing around us, and we're not dummies. A lot of us know what's going on. We're not little Donnie Dum-Dums. No. Building up yourselves. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And that's a very important place. If I keep myself up here, I can come over here and read these words. But if I'm down here, I can only speak from what I've memorized. But I can't see it. So I've left that place. But if I come back up here and I keep myself here, then I can read it and understand it. And the love of God is like that. You can step aside and ignore it. You can choose to not respond to it. But there's going to come a time when people's hearts are going to be so bitter and hardened around us that they are going to need what we have. So God has equipped us. He's equipped us for the long haul. Say, I'm in it to the end. And I'm not giving up. I know there's troubles all around. But in the name of Jesus, they're subject to change. And it's going to start right now. There. Now y'all can go home. Oh no, we have more music. Now I'm not quite done. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another powerful little thing that goes with love, because if you don't have the love of God, it's hard to show mercy. Because mercy, it's like a baby spirit of the mother spirit of love and how it manifests, showing mercy, showing goodness, showing kindness. All of those things, even when everything is screaming in your head, no, I'm not going to do that. Because that's what the flesh does. And so, here we are, looking for the mercy of our Lord. There's two ways you can read that. Number one, I'm looking for the mercy of the Lord on my life. But am I looking for his same mercy that he showed me upon another one's life? And can I really, really say that and believe it in my heart, Lord, would you please show mercy to that person? You know, the former priest that I bowl with, I have to practice this. I have to live this for 2 hours every Sunday night. And I'll tell you, he is a totally transformed man. He doesn't care about religion anymore. He studied that for years and he was really good. But now he has relationship and that's so much better. But that's an example. If I go there among a lot of unsaved people, what should I expect? To live by our standards? Ain't no way, Jose. That's not happening. Oh, they say, oh God, but not really quite the way we would. And then it says, and of some, have compassion, making a difference. How much compassion do we have? See, that's only a question you can ask yourself. How much compassion do you have if somebody's in trouble, if somebody's hurting? If we all know people, so what should we do when we're trying to introduce them to the Lord and get them even interested? We have to show people what he's like. And his likeness is in you. Somebody said way early in my faith walk that we might be the only Jesus somebody will ever know. Let's make it count. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Remember when one Sunday we talked about making a difference because we all have spheres of influence and your life does matter. You can make a difference with your life. You can have a positive effect on people. But if you're a butthead, they ain't going to want anything to do with it and they're going to know you're a butthead. So you got to be compassionate and merciful and people will remember you for the good. That way the door stays open. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants the doors of our heart to stay open and reachable and teachable. And then he says, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Oh, boy. I think about, because I can only speak of a bridge that maybe you've all driven on at least once. Down on Interstate 91, the one that crosses the river. Well, if you knew that bridge was out, would you maybe not dare to park your car crossways a lane and get out and try to stop people from driving because the bridge was out? Get a word picture of that. You see, that's how important salvation is to the Lord. That's how important their life is to the Lord. And he's going, they're gonna perish. They're gonna crash. And it might not be that severe, but it's the same idea. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. I don't know what percentage of it, but you know, some of us may have a little more than others, I don't know. But you see, we have to get into that mindset because people just walk into stores and start shooting people anymore. People do all kinds of bizarre things, and we're living in these ages. I know every generation says this must be the time, and it's our generation now. We are who God has left. We're the restrainer. What's going to happen if none of us were here? What about our friends? What about our loved ones? What about people that are just aimlessly like we used to be? But I thank God for people who loved us and told us so that we wouldn't perish. Pulling them out of the fire and hating the garment spotted by the flesh. Now that's our part. We have, I called it an earth suit, but we're made up of three. We're like the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are a spirit. You live in a body. And you have a soul. Your soul is your will, your mind, your intellect. All of those things are part of the soulish man, the soulish realm. Your mind, your will, intellect, all those things. So we've got to come to the place where every time we let our flesh dictate to us, we got to really speak to it. You know, we all are learning about speaking to things. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. He spoke to the fig tree. And his disciples marveled that when they came by the next day, that fig tree had all withered up. But I can tell you that God never cursed a fig tree for overproducing. We have the ability to speak to things. Speak to your bones. Speak to your muscles. Speak to whatever hurts in your body. Speak. We've talked so much about that. I don't need to speak any more about it. Just learn to speak to things that are warring against you, things that are preventing you from doing the right thing. And these are going to be things that are really going to help us. And this wasn't written by three different people for just our reading today. There's some real life-saving, beneficial principles of these words. So take that to heart today. And you all know that we're living in times like this. But you know what? God's equipped us. He has. I was in India 2 years ago, but we don't have the freedom to travel like we once did. Now we have to go out under the cover of darkness and sneak into a village to see one person. And Sherrard's very careful. How do you hide somebody like Tom and me? We're the white boys that glow in the dark. Wow, that's pretty good. You can use that. That's very spontaneous. And we're driven up in this car, and in a village it's nothing but bicycles and motorbikes, and two white dudes and the natives get out of the vehicle, and all the eyes are looking. Ooh. Who are these people? Oh, I remember. They came and prayed for my grandmother. They came and prayed for the shaky lady. They came and prayed for this. They came and prayed for that. And then they start going around house to house and bringing all the people there for prayer. What a concept. You don't have to come to church to be healed. Just go find somebody that's a believer and let them lay hands on you and pray for you. Oh, by the way, I'm done, and it's huggy break time.